Daniel chapter number 3. Daniel chapter number 3.
Yes.
Privilege to be in the house of God tonight.
Yes, yes. Yes.
Appreciate the open door of invitation to come.
Yes, yes.
Trust the Lord to help us tonight.
Amen.
Certainly can't do anything without Him.
Right.
Sure do need Him.
Amen.
Had a little trouble. Kind of hard getting my heart settled on what to do tonight. And then right before we left the room there, the Lord put this thought on my heart and these verses. So we'll just trust that He'll help us and give us what we need tonight from heaven. Daniel chapter 3, and we'll begin our reading in verse number 19. Familiar scripture, no doubt, into our hearing. The Bible said, "Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace.
Yes.
Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, rose up in haste and spake, and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. My Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, tonight for this good privilege. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be in this place among your people. I thank you, Lord, for that. For that's already been done in our midst, the good singing of the songs of Zion, the stirring in our heart already. Lord, now it's fallen our lot to stand, and I realize, Lord, tonight that I can't do anything without your help, and Lord, without your touch, and I beg, oh God, tonight for that holy anointing that every man must have in order to preach. I beg that the breeze, Lord, from yonder's world would blow over our soul tonight, and Lord, that we'd hear good news from a far country. Lord, you'd set on fresh bread tonight, Lord, that we might eat and our soul might be satisfied with what you have for us tonight. Lord, above all else tonight that's done, I pray you give honor and glory unto your high and your holy name. And Lord, whatsoever you please to do in and through and for us, we'll bow these unworthy heads and say you've done it all. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing tonight. Read these verses in Daniel chapter number 3. We all know the story. We teach it to our children from their young days up about these three men, about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we teach our children about Daniel and all the things that they went through and how that God delivered them out of their situation. I'm glad tonight that no matter what our situation is, I'm glad there is a God that is able to do what no one else can. I thought about just a chapter ago, I think it was, that the king had dreamed a dream, and all the astrologers and the soothsayers, and nobody could give the interpretation. Matter of fact, the king himself couldn't even remember what he dreamed, that it had left him, and he said, I'll not tell you the dream, but you'll have to tell me the dream and the interpretation. And all those wise men and educated men and learned men said it's an impossible thing that the king's asking of us to do. But I'm glad there's a man by the name of Daniel that sought God and got on his face. And he went in before the king and he said something like this. He said, I know, king, that with man this cannot be done. I mean, all these other men have said that it is impossible for me to tell you what you dreamed and to tell you the interpretation. But Daniel said, O king, I've come to let you know there is a God in heaven. I'm glad tonight that there is a God in heaven that's well able, still even in our day, as dark as the night may be, as dark as our circumstances are, as heavy-hearted as we may be, I'm glad he's still even in 2017 to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And it don't matter what you're going through, there's a man, there is a God that's well able tonight to help you and to bring you out. I'm glad there is a man that when the fire gets hot, he's able to walk in it and help you out, and he can stand for what nobody else can. They bound these men and threw them in. I mean, it was so hot. The Bible said that them, he didn't just get anybody, by the way, but he got the most mighty men that were in his army to bind them and cast them in. I don't know how many it was. I don't know if it was one on each boy. I don't know, but I do know there's no match for the fire, even though they're strong and mighty. And old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I kind of got it in my head, kind of picturing it, that they ain't nothing compared to them other men. I mean, just ruddy and ruddy compared to these old big boys that are binding them and throwing them in. And the fire slew them men. But when the king looked in, he said, you know, there wasn't much about them boys. They didn't look too strong. They didn't look too powerful. But he said, they're not bound anymore. And the fire ain't hurt them. They're walking around in the fire. You say, what was the difference? It wasn't in how big they were, and it wasn't in what they knew and what they didn't know. But he said there was a fourth man in the fire with them, and he's the one that made all the difference. I'm glad in these days that we're living in, I'm glad there's a fourth man. I'm glad there's somebody that when nobody else can, I'm glad he can. I'm glad there's a man that when my fire gets too hot for me to handle, I'm glad it's no match for him and it's no problem for him. I'm glad he's well able. And I don't know what you come in need of tonight. I don't know what your fire is. I don't know what your trouble is. But I came to tell you there's a fourth man, and he's in it with you. Just look around. You'll find him along the way, and he'll help you and bring you out. I'm glad when everybody else changes, he don't change.
That's right. Yeah.
The Bible said that I'm inclined to believe that these boys somehow, by the help of the Lord, had gained some favor in the eyes of the king. I think he thought something of them, because he had already said very plain and very clear, if you don't bow, you're going in the fire. But when the messenger came and said, now, king, everybody bowed, but these three boys back there said they wasn't. And boy, he was hot, but he said, who were they? And he said, it's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And instead of saying, throw me up, he said, bring them here a minute and let me talk to them. And when they got there, I don't know, I'm just kind of preaching it how God puts it in my heart. These other men, I can preach it how God wants them to. But I think he sat down with them and said, now boys, maybe you didn't hear me good the first time. I've been good to you. I took care of you. And I said, it. If you don't bow, you're going in the fire. And they said, we're not careful to answer you. In other words, they said, we don't got a debate. And we don't got to think about it. We will not bow. They said, our God that we serve is able to deliver us. And if not, He will deliver us out of your hand. In other words, they said, if God so chooses, He can get me out of fire. But whether we go out of fire or not, He'll get us out of your hand one way or another. Because if we go in the fire and we burn up and die, we're going to go be with Him. So one way or another, King, it really don't matter to us. Just throw us in the fire and see what God can do. And the Bible said the form of His visage was changed. Them boys He liked yesterday, He didn't care too much about them today. Them boys He thought a lot of yesterday, see, He had already seen what God could do. When Daniel said, we don't want the meat, and we don't want the wine, but we want pulse and water, and see who looks better at the end. He had already seen how God could work. It was just some indigo that Daniel had said and interpreted the dream that nobody else could interpret. And them boys He thought of highly a minute ago, He didn't care too much about them now. You know, I'm amazed. I don't mean to kill it right here. I'm amazed, Brother Henderson, how the brethren like us one day and they don't care about us tomorrow. Some days, if we're not careful, we'll spend all our time, instead of pleasing God, we'll spend our time pleasing the brethren. I understand tonight it's normal for our flesh to want to be liked, for us to want approval. But I'm going to tell you what, I'd rather have the approval of God as to have all the approval of the brethren. It doesn't matter to me, really, what the brethren think. One old man said, I don't care if I know that people don't like me and I'm not popular down here. But he said, I do care whether or not my soul's in harmony with God or not, for He's the sensitive Lord. And I want to tell you tonight, it's not the brethren we'll stand before and give an account one day, but it's God Almighty. And I sure am glad if all the brethren forsake me tomorrow and decide they don't like me, I'm glad there's a man that said he'd never leave me and never forsake me. And even though he knows all my faults and he knows all my failures, he still loves me anyway. And he'll not change tomorrow just because of what I do today. I don't know that a greater miracle than salvation itself is that God knew what we'd do after He saved us, and He saved us anyway. You say, I don't believe that. Why not? He's God, ain't He? Calvary wasn't no afterthought. Mankind didn't sin in the Garden of Eden and God say, uh-oh, gotta go to plan B. But the Bible said, before He ever stooped down and scooped up the dust of the earth and breathed into its nostrils the breath of life and made it a living soul, before He ever did all of that, Jesus was as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And if He knew man would sin before He ever formed him, and yet He made him anyway. Boy, if we'd really get a hold of that. Because God don't need us. Ain't that what Paul said? God's not a man. And you don't worship Him as if He needeth anything. but He wants us. He don't need us, but He wants us. And if He knew we had sinned before He ever made us, then I'd say He knew what we'd be after He saved us and birthed us in the family of God. And I ain't been nothing but a failure. And if you'd be honest, so have you. And the only good in me is all because of Him anyway. But I'm glad despite all of my faults and all of my failures and all my worst day, He still loves me just as much as He does on my best day. If I could dot all my I's right and cross all my T's, and I can't, it's not in me, I'm human. If I could be perfect, Brother Hyde, and it don't mean I ought not to try to be, but if I could be, wouldn't make Him love me anymore than He does right now. I just thank God tonight that knowing I'm imperfect and knowing I'm going to fail and I'm going to mess up, He loves me anyway. And when everybody else changes, been a few. Now, I ain't been on this way as long as some of you have. But I know what few days I've been on it. About 11 years now, I guess. There have been some brethren, I thought, they thought a lot of me. Thought when the going got tough, they'd stand with me. And I watched the going get tough and turn around, and there's nowhere to be found. And suddenly they didn't think as much of me as they did the day before. But I'm glad I never have got down on my head and been over on my knees and said, "Oh Lord, I need help. I've messed up again." I never have heard Him say, "I'm sorry you've done went too far now. I'm sorry you've done messed up. I don't care too much about you today. I did yesterday, but I don't today." Oh no, no, never have heard Him say that. But He always just sits down where I am and picks me up and wipes the dust off and says, "It'll be all right, son. I still love you, and I still care about you, and I'm still with you. I'm glad for a man that'll do that for me." I'm glad when the fire gets hot, it still ain't no match for Him. If you want to know the truth, I think the language, Brother Henderson can correct me if I'm wrong, I think he knows a whole lot more about it, I'm sure, than I do. But I think that language was that it was wont to be heated. It was really heated past its capacity to be heated. And I'm going to tell you what, there have been some days I've been in the fire and thought the fire was so hot the stove couldn't even stand it. But there's a man.
Yeah.
And I didn't see Him. I was reading, Brother Hyde, I didn't see Him when they was getting bound. I didn't see Him when they was carrying Him up there, you know, playing that death march as they was fixing to throw Him in. I don't even see Him when the fire comes out and kills the boys that threw Him in. But when they got in the midst, when they got in the hottest part, there He was. Leads me to believe He is already in the fire before they got in. And I think when they fell down, He said, "Where you boys been? Been waiting on you. Just thought we'd cut the vines off. And I thought we'd walk around together a little while. I mean, while everybody else, hey, I know that fire looked bad. And probably there's a little bit of worry. There's flesh after all. And a little bit of dread on that march up to the furnace. But I'm glad when they got in, even though it looks so bad on the outside, now they shut up with God." And He said, "I know it's hot, boys, but we're going to walk around a while. And I'm going to talk to you a while and help you a while. I'm glad the fire may get hot and it may seem bad and the storm's coming over the horizon. And we think, oh Lord, are we going in it again? But I'm glad when we get in, we'll figure out He is there before we ever got there." Yeah. And it's in them places where everybody else don't matter. And nothing else matters. That's why when he got in the boat with Peter, he wasn't satisfied just a little from the land. But he said, let's go out in the deep. You say, why is that? I think it's because if he could get him out there, he couldn't see land, he couldn't see houses, he couldn't see civilization, he couldn't put his eyes on anything else except the Lord. And sometimes in our life, it takes the fire and the door of the furnace being shut when we can't see nobody else but him, and we get what we need even in the midst of the fire.
Yeah.
Isn't it an amazing thing that they went in bound and came out free? I think sometimes he puts us in the fire just to burn the vines. I don't know if you've ever tried to do anything. All I know to do is relate it to preaching, because that's what I am. But I know there have been times Brother Hyde got up to preach and I felt like I was bound. I know I wasn't, but it felt like I couldn't do nothing. I felt like I couldn't talk. I felt like I couldn't move. I felt like there was a spirit of oppression upon me. And I'm glad it might have been hard at the time. But looking back at it now, I'm glad for some fires that he put me in to burn the vines off and to get my attention back on him and let me know it's all right. He's around. I'm glad for the fourth man. And ain't it an amazing thing that all these years before Jesus ever takes on the form of flesh and a heathen king that don't know anything about God, yet when he looks in that fire, he said the form of that fourth one, he ain't the same as them other boys. I think he's saying he walks a little different than they do. He looks a little different than they do. I don't know, they wasn't in there just having a good old time of talking. And he might have said he talks different than they do. And he said he looks like the Son of God. Capital G. Wasn't talking about that 90-foot statue he'd just built.
Right.
You say, Lord help us. You say, why'd he build it that big? Well, he knew it didn't have no power, so he thought if I can build it big, everybody will come. I'm going to tell you why we're in the trend we're in today. They say if we can build it big, don't matter whether it's got any power or not. People will come. I'm going to tell you what, that item might have been big, but it didn't get the boys out. And if we're not careful, our eyes will turn real quick out of this crowd that's knocking walls out and building bigger buildings and packing them in the pews, and we'll think there's something in it. But I'm going to tell you what, it may look good and it may last a minute or two, but when the fire comes, what they got won't do you no good. And if they really would admit it, what they got ain't doing them no good neither. What good's a farm if it ain't got no power? But I'm afraid that's what we're full of. A form of godliness, but denying the power. Refusing the power. They say we just want to look good, but we don't need none of that power. We got our own. Ain't that right? Ain't that what Laodicea said? Maybe not in so many words, but they did say we have need of nothing. And I think what they meant in their heart was, God, that includes you. You say, I wouldn't have said that. Well, that's what they said. And if you're not careful, that's what we're saying in this day. God, we've learned how to have the meetings. We've learned how to have church. We've learned how to sing. We can sing like He's here and preach like He's here and shout like He's here. We've even learned how to cry like He's here. But an old mountain preacher once said that it wasn't too fancy, but it's right. We might be able to do everything like He's here, but if He ain't here, He just ain't here.
Amen.
Yes.
And there ain't nothing going to get done if He ain't here.
Amen.
I don't understand how people go through what they go through in these days Now, I'm going to tell you, Job didn't say that a saved man born of a woman. He said a man born of a woman is a few days and then full of trouble. It's going to happen to the good and the bad, the saved and the lost. And I don't understand how anybody goes through them few days that's full of trouble without God. How could you go through a fire and not be able to look around and say, well, I might not see him yet, but he'll be here any minute.
Yeah.
They say, who are you talking about? Oh, that fourth man.
That's right.
He said, any time I was in here, he'd be in here with me.
Right.
Yeah. That world, the world don't understand what we're talking about tonight. They don't understand why it does our heart good, how we can rejoice and lift our voices in the midst of knowing trouble's coming, in the midst of suffering, in the midst of it all. We say, how can we do it, preacher? You do it because the fourth man. He didn't say, when it's good, I'll be around. He said, I'll never leave you. Never forsake thee. He said, the trouble you may be in may seem like the end of the world. He said, but I'll be there. And I'm here to tell you tonight, you may be in the hottest fire you've ever been in. I know this is camp meeting. And I know maybe this ain't a camp meeting message, but it's what God said to preach. These days these boys were living in were days of captivity, by the way. And I'm looking around in these days, and I've never seen such captivity among the people of God in all my days. Yeah. A spirit of oppression over the people of God. And by the way, Peter did say, our adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And in this scripture, Nebuchadnezzar is a good type to picture him. And if I go back to chapter number 1, I'm going to tell you. You want to know why that crowd we're tempted to look at, that health, wealth, and prosperity, and name it and claim it, and easy believism, and all this stuff way out in left field. You want to know why they seem like they're prospering? Because the devil ain't after them. He done got to them, why does he need to? But I go back to chapter number 1. I had never seen this before until God showed it to me. When Nebuchadnezzar went into Jerusalem to get captives, he said, get me the best.
Yeah.
When the devil comes walking around, you know what he wants? The best. He's not interested in all them way out in left field. But he's interested in some of these in this old time way, if maybe he can persuade them to go another direction. And it's working. It's working. I'm watching them leave. One after the other, after the other. And you ask them why, and they say, well, it looks better down the road. That's what the prodigal said too. Looks better down the road. And it may last for a little while. I mean, we're quick to say there's nothing down there, but I don't know how long it lasted, but it lasted a little while. But when he got done, and when it was all over, for the first time really, the Bible said he came to himself. You ever heard anybody say that? Telling a story and they say, and when I come to myself, you know what they're saying? I wasn't thinking right to begin with. You know what? He wasn't thinking right when he said, I'm leaving Father's house and going down yonder.
Amen.
But when he come to himself, he realized for the first, if not for the first time, it was the first time in a long time, how much better it was down yonder at the Father's house.
Right. Yeah.
And he said, as quick as I can get out of here, I'm going back.
Right.
And I'm telling you, all these are staying on this straight and narrow way, this old time way, this old path. And I know a lot of people call it old timey things that ain't really old timey. I'm not really interested in all of that. I'm interested in what Jeremiah said, the good way where there's rest for your soul.
Amen.
Never have met anybody coming back on that way.
Amen.
But I have met a few that thought they'd go another way coming back.
Right.
And they wasn't a walking, there's a running. Say, if I can get back, if I can get back, if I can get back, I'll never leave again. You say, why is that? Well, when they're down there in the far country, they couldn't feel that fourth man like they could at the Father's house. I didn't say he left them. But it's one thing to know in your heart he's around. There's another thing. I know it ain't all in feeling, but I'm glad when I can feel it.
Yeah.
I feel it pretty good tonight. You go 3 or 4 days, weeks, months without a feeling, and you'll start wondering and worrying and trying to figure out where the feeling went. You say you run on feeling? Far as I can. Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
You can't tell me there wasn't a feeling when he fell on his face and said, "I'm not worthy to be a son, just make me a servant." And the father said, "Hush a minute.
Yeah.
I got something to say."
Yeah.
And you can't tell me there wasn't a feeling when he went in the closet and got that robe out and put it on him and it fit.
Yeah.
Now my mind tells me that if he hadn't had nothing to eat, he'd lost a lot of weight.
Uh-huh.
But the robe fit.
Amen.
You say, why? Because the father knew. He had her tailor made. Said he'll be home today. You say, you really believe that? Well, that's what my God can do. And you can't tell me after being out, I just like to think out shivering in the cold, hungry, starving, that robe didn't feel good. And if you ever get out and get back in and get the robe on again, it'll feel good.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I'm glad for the fourth man.
Yeah.
Brother Joel, I'm done. You come on.